Week two of 52 weeks for the year. Amen. And this was impressed upon my spirit to discuss. And so I want to share something with you. I'm going to ask the deacons would come and read an Old Testament verse and also a few verses from the New Testament to get us into the Word. Today, I think all the mics are online, so would you please stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord? Amen. We'd like to draw your attention, your undivided attention, to the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says that it is the Word of God that is able to strengthen us and keep us and bless us with what it is that we need. Amen. It's our food that makes us disciples of the Lord. Jesus said that. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. There's a lot of people who say they're disciples, but they don't continue in his word. He said, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. So it's the process of knowing the truth, which is his word, that makes us free. He even says, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. So it is the word. It's not subjective. It's not what anybody thinks it is. It's what God says it is. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to hear the word. The Bible even says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God is absolutely essential.
Yes, it is.
You and I hear the word from the Lord. So give your undivided attention to the reading of the word. Amen.
So on the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter, the first verse, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion.
Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 28:1. And now for the New Testament scripture reading.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the godly. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You have been hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. Which is a good thing. You may be seated in the sanctuary. We're going to talk today on the subject of living a year without fear. Amen. A year without
yes,
fear.
Yes, Lord.
And of course, we have up on the screen, this is our new website that we have launched this year at teachingbible.org, which is the website for St. Timothy MB Church, as well as our outreach ministry, Straight Gate Ministry.
Amen.
And you'll see there on the screen we have living a year without fear. Let me just hear you say that.
Living a year without fear.
Amen. Now, we know you've been through a lot of years already, most of us. And we know that the absence of fear would be a very strange thing, because there are so many things to be afraid of in the world. Amen. I don't know how that perspective looks, because I'm not able to see the screen. But I want to talk to you today briefly about living a year without fear. Amen. So this year, it impressed upon me after speaking on those things that we looked at in the previous lessons, that it was very terribly important for us to concentrate on some of what God has said, because the Bible is filled with information about how not to be fearful. We live in fearful times in the world right now. The times in the world are becoming increasingly more and more fearful. Just like we heard some of the things I was praying about, the people down in Fort Lauderdale being manipulated by some person who flew in from Alaska and had guns in his luggage, went and got the guns out of his luggage in the baggage area, went to the bathroom, the only place in an airport where there are no cameras. and loaded up the gun. I know that from working at the airport for 30 years. And came out shooting in the baggage area. And I could imagine that scenario happening here at our airport. And I see what he did. That was pretty slick. And now today the news tells us he had planned the whole thing. He had planned to do it that way. And that was his plan when he left Anchorage, Alaska and boarded the plane. And so you never know. Those kind of things happen and it takes away our peace. And so basically we need to understand that if you are in Christ, that you are capable of living without fear. As the proverb says, the wicked flee when no one pursueth. But the righteous is as bold as a lion. See, lions are pretty bold. You know, lions get their way quite often. Most of the time. You know, nobody mess with him. That's why he called the king of the jungle.
That's right.
When the lion comes, folks start booking up and getting out the way. And time to move along. You see what I mean? But now this whole scenario with being a life without fear, there's so many things in the world that would cause you to be fearful. There's a drug abuse and manipulation. We wonder, how do drugs that are grown in foreign countries end up in our neighborhoods, and our kids and people in our family get stuck on drugs? Now, some of it is the problem that we shouldn't indulge those kind of things, but the reality of it is there, and we do have a problem there.
Yes.
And when the persons are on drugs and they begin to afflict the people who aren't for the purpose of upholding their abuse and their addiction, and they may not even really mean it, but now they're being motivated from without by forces of darkness. And so, and that doesn't make them without fault. There's all kinds of displaced refugees in the world as a result of war and other disturbances in the world. People fleeing other countries and then folks not wanting to welcome you into their country and all of that. They're scared of you, basically, of bringing in foreigners into the country. So we have all that. Then you got the political and social instability in the world. The Democrats and the Republicans and the Green Party and the Tea Party and all this. They call themselves a party, but that's the last thing they're doing is partying with one another. If anything, they're parting the world and dividing people against one another. You got the spread of infectious disease that threatens everybody. Zika virus and all kinds of things of that sort that you haven't even heard of. Next thing you know, you look up and you hear about it and it's right in your neighborhood. You have people talking about climate change, the non-scientific misunderstanding thereof, really. But I mean, they threaten you, telling you that the weather is working against you and the sun is causing you to have cancer. People been in the world forever with the sun. And suddenly now the sun is a problem and you couldn't live without the sun. All these kind of different controversial things, they come to mind. You have war and terrorism, as we mentioned. Unequal distribution or control of financial resources and general wealth is twisted. You have the haves and the have-nots. That's what we talk about there. The rich and the famous versus the poor and the ordinary. And all of that kind of things. High unemployment as a result of people's greed, gorging themselves on stuff that they can use, and they don't care if another person doesn't have a biscuit to set on the table. Things of that sort. Underemployment. They cut the rules and regulations of how we work because now if you're full-time, I have to pay more to have you here.
Yep.
So I make a bunch of part-time people out of everybody and people can't even exist from day to day. These are the kind of things we're met with in life.
Yeah.
Population growth. They say, oh, there's a population explosion, but you can drive thousands of miles and never see a person on a highway. There's plenty of space for people to be, but we all just group up in one little spot and then we say there's an overpopulation problem. Yeah, well, why don't some of y'all move to those areas where there are thousands of miles that you could have by yourself?
Yeah.
And nobody would be there. So really, that's a synthetic problem. And then notice this. I'm just going to hit this list. This is a very depressing list. Poverty and hunger in the land of plenty. We've got so much food, it's unbelievable. We have to throw it in the ocean to keep the price up. That's what they do. But then there's people who are in poverty and are hungry every day. And so all of these are primarily, if you look at the one thing that connects all these appearing so-called problems, you know what it is? It could all be connected to the love of money.
All right.
And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money, but the love of money.
That's right. Amen.
And so you have a lot of things that might produce in your life fear, the threat of disease, all kinds of stuff. But you know what? This year, and I'm making this declaration because I feel it in my spirit. I think God dropped it in my spirit that he wants this to be a year of living a year without fear. Now, we just got started on this year. That's why this is somewhat of a pep talk. That in spite of all of that I said, and whatever else might be in your own mind about stuff that might be on your particular punch list that you're concerned or worried about, I want to tell you, put it to bed today. I'm going to tell you what God said.
Yes.
Tell you why you can put it to bed.
Yeah.
The devil will try to mess up the blessings that God has given you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to enjoy it. That's why I took a minute today to give time to give testimony this morning. Because the devil wants to make you think even though God did that, it's going to be a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because God blessed you. See, and that's the way he is. And he's a trickster. He's a liar. The Bible says he's the father of it.
Yes.
You know, in him there is no truth.
That's right.
There is no love. There's nothing but a destiny of destruction in his life.
Yeah.
And so, but the righteous, as the writer says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. That's paranoia.
Yes, it is.
I used to know about that because there was a time I didn't know the Lord so well. And I'd be looking around, wondering there was something coming in on me. You know why? Because my life was dirty and I wasn't doing right.
All right.
And I should be looking to see if the police is going to get me any minute. You know, and you had that kind of a fear hanging over your life.
Yeah.
But once I got saved and filled with the Spirit of God, I am not studying you. I ain't studying you.
Yeah.
I ain't thinking about you.
Yeah.
Because I'm moving in the right direction.
Yes.
I'm doing right.
Amen.
And so I'm bold as a lion, as it says here.
Yeah.
So that's why I took time to say this. And I'm the one declaring this because God said if you speak a thing, that he can make it so.
Yeah.
Amen. If you believe it in your heart, you can know that you have it.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not being boastful or arrogant against God. I'm going by what he promised.
Yeah.
Notice this. Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy had been blessed to be his protege, so to speak. He found him while he was traveling to spread the gospel to those Gentiles he used to hate.
Right.
Did you hear me, anybody? He used to hate them.
Yeah.
But he was traveling through their lands to bring them the good news of the gospel. He came across a young man named Timothy. And he found that he had a gift of preaching the word. And primarily what he said to Timothy is that I'm going to bring you up, train you, show you what it's all about. Timothy was a half-breed somewhat. He was not a full-blooded Jew. His mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, were Jewess. And they were in the word and they taught him about God. His father happened to be a Gentile. And so his name was Timothy. But Paul saw the gift that was in him because of the raising that had been given him by his grandmother and his mother, who were godly women living in Roman culture.
Yeah.
Under the tyranny of Rome, the Jews were at this time. And Paul had to write him back on a number of occasions as he went different places without Timothy. There were times of separation, and Paul was in the prison, and he had to write letters to tell people what they ought to do. Now, Paul addressing Timothy knew that since he had been blessed, and this is true of you too, since you have been blessed, you can know that you're on the devil's radar.
That's right.
But I want to say something to you. Even though you're on his radar, let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said.
Right.
Doesn't make any difference. You know why? Because he is a toothless loser.
Yes, he is.
A toothless loser. He can bark, but he can't bite.
Right.
Not if you're saved.
Right.
So God had Paul write Timothy these words, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you and I don't have a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
He is the Spirit of supplication.
Yeah.
He is the Spirit of power.
Yeah.
He is the Spirit of might.
Yeah.
He is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the only thing you ought to fear is the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
There's nothing else you should fear but the Lord.
Amen.
See, and you don't have to be scared of the Lord, but the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is what you and I need to have.
Yeah.
So he told Timothy, do not be ashamed, therefore, he says, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The gospel is the thing that makes people get, they say, you believe that about a crucified Messiah? They have a lot of trouble with that. Nor of me his prisoner, Paul says. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now you know what that means?
Yeah.
That means when you stand for the gospel, you will be afflicted.
That's right.
You know what? You don't hear much of that kind of thing being preached in churches today.
You will.
But you will be afflicted. You know why? Because the devil is against you. The world is against you. The flesh is against you. But guess what? God is for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? That's what Paul said to the Romans, right? If God is for you, who is bigger and badder than God that they can be against you? That's the question. The answer is nobody. There's not a soul. If the Most High Court has declared you not guilty and has given you an assignment and people are mad about it, whose fault is that? It's not your fault. So the righteous need to be bold as a lion. Notice what God did for us, he says here. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When we became knowledgeable of what God had done through Jesus Christ, it made us we understand that God was planning this before he made the world. Think about it. You understanding that he loves you and he's given his son for you was not something that just popped up lately from God. This was something he prepared in eternity before the world began, so that you and I can trust in Jesus Christ and have the confidence that we are right and that we walk with God. Now the world does not see the things the way you do. You know why? Because there was a time we may not have seen those things.
Yep.
See? And God had to open up our blinded eyes to show us that that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Now notice the results of what God did. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, it says here, not of works, but according to his own purpose. That's very important. And grace. It's not that we deserved it. It's that he gave us grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death.
Right.
Death is the thing that's abolished.
Right.
Abolished means done away with.
Amen.
And have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And now the good news, that word gospel is a word I told y'all last week. It was an unfamiliar word to me. Right. When somebody said gospel, I was like, gospel, what in the world is that? It was a strange word. And I heard somebody talking about Philippians. I'm going, Philippians? What in the world is that? You heard me say that last week. Because the words of God are unusual to the lost.
Yes.
To those whose ears are dull to the truth. And so the reason I want to declare this the year without fear is because God showed me just a few things looking at these verses that I want to share with you, and then I'll be out of your midst here in just a minute. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, both wisdom and knowledge in two different places. But fools despise knowledge and instruction. Fools, and the Bible says, what's the definition of a fool? The biblical definition is Psalm 14 and 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 53 and 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I didn't say you were a fool. God said you're a fool.
Amen.
If you said in your heart, there is no God.
Amen.
God said you're a fool. I'm just the newsboy bringing you the information.
All right.
See? So don't shoot the messenger. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. So do you have to be worried about somebody that's off track? No, you don't. Because God has not given you the spirit of fear. So if you have fear, guess where it's coming from? It can be coming from the flesh, Sometimes we doubt in our own minds what God has done for us. You know, and I told you this last week, I'm going to review this just for somebody who may not have been here, but I'm my own worst enemy in a lot of ways, because I know all about me. I am omnipresent to me, just like God is. I'm not omnipresent to you. I'm not always in your presence. Neither are you always in my presence.
That's right.
But you are always in your presence.
Always.
And so I'm the worst enemy that I have. Mm-hmm. You know what? A spirit of fear can stop you from progressing in the things of God.
Yes,
if you allow it.
That's true.
But you know what? You can stop it.
Yes,
you don't have to let it go on.
No.
You can say to the flesh, no.
No,
not no. I'm getting up and I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord. It has to be a voluntary act of your will that you move out and do what God told you to do.
Right.
So the first step that I want you to understand is that in order to live and declare this the year without fear, you need to check yourself if yourself is out of order with what God has said. It's not a hard thing to do. You're going to find many times yourself, your flesh, will be in contest with what God wants you to do. And what you need to do is make sure God wins every time.
Amen.
Say no to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And walk on out. Do what God told you. The flesh will say, don't say nothing to them. You're going to be embarrassed when they don't believe you. Say, override that in your own mind. That's the spirit of fear.
Right.
It comes up to tell you, oh, you're going to be humiliated when they laugh at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? But you know what happens? If you tell them about Christ and they laugh at you or turn their back or scandalize you and say something against you, God says the spirit of grace rests upon you.
That's right.
And the spirit of glory is upon you.
God.
See? And you know what? You have obeyed God and disobeyed the flesh.
Right.
The Bible says the flesh must be mortified. Do we know what mortified means? How about the mortician? Does that sound something similar?
Yeah.
That means to put to death, mortify the things of the flesh.
Yeah.
See? That means we must let the things of the flesh go and be put away instead of the things of the spirit. We have to allow the flesh to be put in its place.
Amen.
Brought into harmony with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That was Timothy's problem.
Yeah.
He was preaching the gospel. Folks were saying stuff to him like, man, you half-breed little turkey you. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? You don't know nothing about God. Some of those old heads.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you know something about God and your father's a Gentile?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, boy, that's a hard hit.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, your father being a Gentile, he could have said, well, do you know Father Abraham was a Gentile,
all
sir?
Right.
Let's back that train up. There were no Jews when Abraham was called. You just get in the book and tell them what God said.
Amen.
Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, a Chaldean Gentile. See, so you get in the book and you straighten it out. You know what? Abraham feared when God had called him. Did you know that? God told him, get out of your country. Get away from your father and your kindred. Leave your inheritance. Come into a land that I'll show you. I'm going to bless you and make your name great. That was nothing but words at that point. That was a promise from God. Abraham had flocks and herds and lands and houses and all kinds of slaves and everything in his land that would be his when his father died. And God said, leave it alone and come and follow me. Come to the land that I'll show you. I'll bless you, make your name great. The Bible says in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God. But God had to reinforce him a number of times on the fear issue. Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram got a little fearful, even though he was walking away from his inheritance, going where he knew not where he went. He didn't know where he was going. So God had to strengthen him along the way. That's the purpose of this message. I'm here this morning to strengthen you about your way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Say, oh, pastor, doesn't make sense the thing you're saying for me to do. No, it doesn't. But God said it. So you can do it.
That's right.
And you must obey the Lord.
That's right.
Obey God. Tell the flesh no.
Yeah.
Tell the world no.
Yeah.
Tell people who are working with the devil no.
That's right.
And say yes to God like Abraham did.
Yes, Lord.
In Genesis 26, it says here, verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto Abram the same night and said unto him, I am, he's appearing here to someone else, one of the other patriarchs. He says, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not. For I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. He's telling the next generation what I promised in Abraham's generation. In other words, sir, how did you get here? You here because you're the seed of Abraham. And just as surely as I kept my promise to Abraham, sir, I'm going to keep my promise to you.
Amen.
See, and you are living proof that I didn't, that I kept my promise to Abraham, or you wouldn't be here. See? And so he was just going back telling him, fear not, I got to tell you. Genesis 46 and 3. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make there, I will there make thee a great nation. Well, why are we going into the land of the enemy and the people who hate you and have other gods? Don't worry about it. I got your back. See, so God says, I'm with you. If you do what I say, I'm with you.
Yes.
You don't have to fear. You don't need to worry about it. On and on. I have a sheet here. I'm not going to be able to cover it all. But all of this is fear not from God. I just want to say to you. So this year, as we declare this the year without fear, I want you to understand that Matthew 28 puts it this way. He says, verse 10, at least chapter 10, verse 28.
That's right.
He says, and fear then not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul.
That's right.
But rather fear him which is able to destroy both. That means the body and the soul in hell. Yeah. There's only one person that's got a heaven and hell to put you in. Only
yes.
One.
That's right.
Guess what? He's the only one you should fear.
Right.
Fear not him.
Thank you.
Who can destroy the body. And when they've done that, that's all they can do.
That's all they can do.
You know what? If you destroy this body, God is going to take me up.
Yes, he will.
I'm already saved. You can't do nothing but send me to Jesus to a greater blessing.
Yes, Lord.
So I'm not scared of you. I stand in your face and declare this is the year of no fear.
Yeah.
I trust in God with all my heart. I'm going to move at his command. So remember that. He's the only one who has a heaven or hell to put you in. That's what we get that saying. But we must realize that we have been called in Christ Jesus from the foundation of the world. In eternity past, that's before God made anything. He already knew that you would be saved. Read Ephesians 1 and 4. He said he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. And so we have to realize that the calling on our life runs deep. In eternity past, therefore, being the manifestation of the timeless purposes of God, there is no reason to fear, and that we are engulfed in God's destiny in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
We must use this status as a catalyst against fear every day. Realize if you're saved, it's because God chose you. John 15, 16 said, you did not choose me, I chose you. And I ordained you.
That's right.
That you should go forth and that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. See, God says this tree is growing. I don't care what they say.
That's right.
And you are like a tree if you trust and meditate in my law day and night. Planted beside the rivers of water to bring forth your fruit in its season. Your leaf also shall not wither. Whatever you do shall prosper. So we declare this year without fear. So we have to understand that. Take this into your mind and realize that your calling runs deep. God says, if I called you, it says, whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Right.
And them he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. So God sees you all the way through the salvation process already. And he determined it in eternity past. He told Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1 and 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
I knew you.
And ordained you a prophet to the nation. Jeremiah said, no, Lord, not me. I'm just a child. He said, you don't know who you are.
That's right.
Because I blessed you.
Yes,
I brought you forth.
Yeah.
I brought you into the world. I have a purpose for your life. And I don't care what they look like or how they wrinkle up their ugly face. You stand and tell them what thus said the Lord.
My Lord.
So you understand that. You are called.
Hallelujah.
With a high and holy calling.
Yeah.
So, but you got to get this together in your mind.
Yeah.
The place this battle goes for it is in your mind.
Yeah, that's right.
What, you know what? If you have a weak mind, you may not stand.
Yeah.
But the power of the gospel should be in your mind every day.
Yes, Lord.
Under every decision you have to make.
That's right.
So in order for us to live life without fear this year, let us come to know without any doubt that we can trust Christ Jesus only because God first loved us. He loved you first. You didn't come to Him loving on Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And He called us, quickened us, and bought us to be His own. He has given us revelation of the works that Jesus has displayed, complete victory over sin, death, the devil, the grave, and therefore we have the victory.
Hallelujah.
Victory is mine, somebody said. It's not something you're going to get. It's going to become magnified and even greater in eternity, but right now you have the victory. So when the devil gives you a spirit of fear, you can stand up and say, God called me. God ordained me. God sustains me. God is moving me forward. You can't do anything about it because Jesus, my Savior, got up out the grave with all power in His hand. There's nothing you can do to top that, baby. Let Him know. You ain't got nothing you can do to top that. I don't have to worry about the grave. I don't have to worry about loved ones who already went to be with the Lord. You can't mess up my present right now with any kind of foolishness from you, because my Savior has already given me everything I need to stand strong in the last and evil days. That's why Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. You might say, preacher, that's some deep stuff you said. I don't know if I understand. Don't worry about understanding. Just trust Him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path.
Yes, He will.
He said, if you meditate in my law, I'll be a lamp to your feet and a light unto your path.
Yes.
I'll show you exactly where you need to go.
Yes.
And you can trust Him and declare for yourself. Yes. I want you to stand on your feet right now.
Yes.
Declare for yourself that I'm going to be living a year without fear.
Yes.
2017 is the year without fear.
Yes.
No more fear. Not going to worry about it.
No more fear.
But you know what? Doesn't mean the threats won't come. They're going to come. But when they come, I'm girding up my mind with the truth.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Living a year.
Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You won't be like those in John 6:66. They say, oh, this is a hard saying. I can't follow you no more. They turn around and went back.
Walk no more.
Walk no more with it. You won't be like that. You'll say, Lord, to whom shall I go?
Yeah.
Because you have the words of eternal life.
Yes.
And we have believed that you are the Christ.
Yes.
The Messiah.
Yes.
The Mashiach, no, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
We believe it.
Yes.
And we're walking with you. We ain't going nowhere.
Yes.
We're going to be right here.
Right here, Father.
Pray along with me while you're standing on your feet. Everlasting God, we bless you today, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you today, Lord. We thank you for calling us, Lord God. We know that there was nothing in our pusillanimous human mind that could approach coming to your throne.
Nothing.
That we didn't know anything about salvation. But you came to us when we were weak and feeble and ignorant of the truth. And you proclaimed your Son, Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross, buried in the grave, and risen after 3 days and nights. And Father, you gave us faith to believe that He trampled on the power of darkness, got up and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. You said, and He said to His disciples, go therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the world. Father, help us to live this year to hear without fear, oh God. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us, oh God, to embrace every promise that you have made to your children. And therefore, Lord, we will give you every praise will be to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship on one another. praise. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah
to our God.
Has not given us the spirit
hallelujah.
Of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Amen. If you're here today,